Welcome back. The Scott Hamilton Show on Friday. The biggest pain in the neck when it comes to conference realignment, or if you want to call it conference expansion, is me remembering who's going where. I need a program to keep up with the players. It's just shifting all over. I keep forgetting that Marshall's in CUSA.
Yeah, we need a spreadsheet of some sort to just put everything in.
Yeah, when I think of Marshall, A, my first thought is to think FCS.
Right, yeah.
And then B, MAC. I'm wondering where it'll be in a month, where it'll be in 6 years. I don't know. At this point, anything's possible. Joining us on the Saitama Hotline, he's the Action Network's college football insider, Brett McMurphy. Welcome back to the Scott Hamilton Show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Brett, appreciate you coming on, pal. And I guess my first question for you is, how would you describe the new look AAC?
It's bigger than I expected it to be. I was surprised that they would add six schools. I thought maybe they would go with only two or four. Certainly their strategy was to get all of the Texas Group 5 schools that were available, with the exception of UTEP. They want to, I think they think that's a key piece of their future going forward. They'll have two teams in Florida, a number of teams in Texas, and then basically spread out through the rest of the country. Certainly, it's not as strong as is the old AAC, and that's not surprising. That's what happens every time there's an expansion. Usually, the conference that gets teams taken from it is a little bit weaker. But I think this campaign by the American of the group of six, Power Six. I never believed it before when they had Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston, and certainly now it doesn't hold true. And what's ironic is, when they did campaign about being the Power Six because they were better than these other leagues, well, how can they be the Power Six now? Because 12 of their 14 members were formerly in Conference USA. So it's basically a new Conference USA.
Yeah, we noted that during the opening of the show, Brett, and it's absolutely just eyebrow-raising when you consider this is the new CUSA. I'm wondering this. Is the Sun Belt maybe the biggest winner out of all this? Because it didn't even make a move, but it seemed to me that it reinforced its position of power and that the gap, or at least the presumed gap, between the American and the Sun Belt that seemed pretty wide a couple of years ago is basically non-existent now if the Sun Belt hasn't absolutely leapfrogged the American.
Yeah, I would say there are probably three winners. The Sun Belt, and look, the Sun, we'll find out in the next, maybe the next 48 hours, maybe it's going to take a week, but we'll find out fairly soon what's going to happen with the Sun Belt. Sources have told me that, they could add three schools from Conference USA. You mentioned Marshall, that would be one of them, Old Dominion, Southern Miss, and then James Madison from the FCS ranks to get up to 14. That's a possibility. Another possibility is Marshall and Old Dominion stay in Conference USA, but then the Sun Belt is still able to add Southern Miss, and then Western Kentucky would actually be coming back to the Sun Belt. So I think the Sun Belt's one of the biggest winners. I think the Mountain West is one of the biggest winners because they didn't lose their schools to the American. They didn't lose their schools to the Big 12. And then the other biggest winner is Liberty, because they go from being an independent to most likely joining a conference, that being Conference USA. And that's big, because if you're an independent and you're not Notre Dame, it's hard to survive, and it's big for them to finally get into a conference.
That was actually my next question for you, Brett. Where does Liberty stand in all this? And that's a school I think that has a lot going for it, but it's also got a lot of baggage. People are kind of squeamish when it comes to engaging with Liberty, despite of its facilities, despite of the massive endowment that the school has. But I'm of the mind that whoever brings it in, they're going to get an absolutely fantastic product on the football field.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I've talked to a number of ADs from, basically every conference. And I understand about the baggage. I don't think that's such an issue anymore. But what's funny is, you mentioned their endowment. They have, you know, they literally have, no pun, more money than God, and that's actually a negative. A lot of ADs told me they don't want Liberty coming into a league, whether it's the Sun Belt, whether it's Conference USA, you know, and basically having twice the resources, twice the money. They feel like it would be an unfair advantage. But we're to the point now where, you know, look, if those schools that I mentioned leave Conference USA for the Sun Belt, then Conference USA would be down to five members. You have to have six FBS teams to have an FBS conference. So they have to add somebody, and Liberty would be the most attractive. The positive, like you mentioned, is the football product has been incredible. I wouldn't say it's a negative, but the concern about Liberty is Hugh Freeze is not going to be coaching there for a long time. He may be gone after this year, the next year, whatever. That's not a knock on Liberty, but Hugh Freeze will move on to a bigger program. How strong will Liberty's program be once Hugh Freeze leaves? Obviously, you can't predict that. Maybe they'll be as strong. Maybe they'll take a big dip, but that's one of the concerns about Liberty. But, yeah, they will get – no matter what movement there is, they will end up in Conference USA simply because Conference USA will need to bolster its lineup.
I don't see how, even if it gets to six, Brett, that it can still survive, and then if it tries to go to eight or to ten, it's – I presume, and you're the expert, I presume they would still have to go down to the FCS level. And then what kind of conference do you have then if a third of the members are FCS teams turned into FBS teams? I have to think that it would be just the quality would be lackluster, to say the least.
Yeah, that's being kind. I used to work for the Tampa Tribune, and I remember when USF was in Conference USA, and back then, USF, Memphis, Louisville, a number of schools left Conference USA, and I wrote a piece for the Tampa Tribune and said, you know, it's no longer Conference USA, it's Conference DOA. And they survived, but you're right. If they do lose these members, they're closer to Conference DOA. And what would happen is, to survive, hold your nose, but they would have to consider New Mexico State, UConn, UMass, and then whatever FCS teams are out there to survive, they would. Right now, they have the smallest TV media rights revenue of any of the 10 FBS conferences in the country, and that is certainly not going to change. Could even get reduced by their new members coming in. So it's going to be, I hate to see any conferences go away. You know, RIP to the WAC and to the Southwest Conference, but, you know, Conference USA, you know, it's a critical time for them.
We're joined by Brett McMurphy of the Action Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Brett_McMurphy. What kind of difference in money could we be looking at, Brett, with these CUSA teams going to the American?
You know, it's not like, you know, look, Oklahoma and Texas go to the SEC and they go from, you know, whatever the number, 40 million, 45 million to 60 million. You know, it's not that drastic at the group five level. It's much smaller. But, you know, Conference USA right now, schools are making about a million per school. You know, that's chump change for the Power Five, but that's basically what they're making. So the American currently is making, I believe, about 6 or 7 million per school. Now that's going to change when, you know, those schools, Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston, go to the Big 12. How much will that be reduced? Certainly, it's not going to be reduced to a million per school. So they're going to make more money. And then where it gets tricky is, you know, just think of the revenue as a pizza. You know, how many slices are you going to have to cut that pizza into? The more members you have, the smaller the pieces get, the less revenue you make.
And, Brett, before we let you go, what about the MAC? What about the Mid-American Conference? It seems to me to be a group that's just so clannish and like-minded that I can actually see them insulating themselves, going about their business, being just fine while everybody else is scattering.
Yeah, look, they're fine. I mean, they're all – it's a regional conference, and, you know, this is not to be negative towards the MAC, but there's nobody in the MAC that any other conference would really want. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, they've got a solid base. You know, what's What's funny, you know, mentioned UCF earlier. I don't know if a lot of people realize this. UCF was in the MAC for 3 years when they were making the transition from Division II. They went 0-11 one year in the MAC, and now they're going to be in a Power 5 league. So, yeah, the MAC's fine. I texted a couple of people in the MAC and said, you know, must be nice to just be sitting there with your feet up on the desk, eating popcorn, watching the rest of the college football world implode, and you guys are just humming along with your group of teams. They got an ESPN deal. You know, look, MACtion starts in a week or two where, you know, I know I'll be watching all these wacky weeknight games, and they're the only game on for the month of November. I don't know if this is the case this year. Last year, every game played, I think it was after the month of October, was not played on a Saturday. It was played on a weekday, but they get awesome TV promotion out of that. But no, they're good, and in a way, they're kind of like the Pac-12. The Pac-12, obviously much different, but geography reasons, the Pac-12 is kind of out there by itself. You know, obviously they have the money to make moves if they can, but they really don't have a lot of options because of geography. Same with the MAC. The MAC's fine. They will be there till the end of time.
It's brilliant, Brett. I mean, they found a model that works for it. That's not going anywhere. Its members aren't going anywhere. They own one night a week, have their own saying, have their own slogan, branding. I think it's absolutely brilliant. Good on the MAC.
Yeah, I mean, it's the MAC is what conferences used to be. You know, if you guys remember, you know, 20, 30 years ago, if anybody's that old out there. But, you know, I joked about the Southwest Conference. You know, all the schools were in the state of Texas or in Arkansas. You know, the Pac-8 was just certain. It did not include, you know, initially teams from Arizona. The Big 8 was schools that were all in states that were connected to each other. The SEC even, you know, but now everything's gotten spread out. You know, the Big 10, you know, before they dipped into, you know, New Jersey and Maryland. I mean, that's how conferences used to be regional because TV wasn't an issue. You couldn't hop on a plane and fly everywhere. So your conference members had to be close by. And yeah, the MAC is one of those, and they've stood the test of time.
He's one of the best in the business. You can follow him on Twitter at Brett_McMurphy. Brett, appreciate you coming on this morning, bud. Have a good weekend. Enjoy yourself.
You got it, guys. Have a great weekend.
All righty. It's Brett McMurphy of the Action Network. He nailed it.